This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on Talk Louisiana, we'll visit with Roth McAllister on his final day as the publisher of the Baton Rouge Business Report. Roth McAllister, who has logged 40 years covering business and other matters and also has 225 and in register, he's turning the keys of the kingdom over to Julio Malera. We'll talk with Roth McAllister, who's been a great entity in our community now for four decades and more. And also, we will visit with Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate, and we'll get a year in review from Mark Ballard about what's happened in a cataclysmic year of 2021. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support for First Financial Tax and Accounting Services, and in studio on his final day as publisher of the Greater Baton Rouge Business Report, 225 in register, a man about town for many decades from a distinguished Baton Rouge family. Roth McAllister Jr. is with us, and we're honored that he is with us on the last day at the office down the street. And good morning to you, Roth McAllister.
Good morning.
If you'd like to talk with this fine gentleman, 877-217-5757. And I remember when you started the publication, and little did we know, it's become a model for the Business Report. It's become a model for many others like it across the country.
Well, you know, it always comes down to people. And I've got to, you know, credit like anyone who stood on our stage. We've given away a lot of awards over the years, but they always go back to the team who make it possible, because no one person does it alone. And I've had the privilege of working with a lot of great people. And that's where I feel good about handing the baton to my partner, Julio Malera, who has purchased the company, and all the great people that are there, and Penny and JR and Why and so many others. In fact, my daughter, she just did our last staff meeting this week. We kick off each week with a staff meeting of all the staff. And so she led that staff meeting. And when I started, my wife was 2 months away from giving birth to that daughter. And so here it is. Now, 40 years later, she's one of our managers of the in-register sales team. And she's leading the staff meeting. So, you know, it's the next generation. Things evolve. And I looked across when I told my staff, you know, I was 26 when I started the Business Report. And I looked out across the room, and over half the people in my room weren't born, Jim, when I started. So
yeah,
it's definitely changed.
It has changed. And we'll talk about some of those changes. But you're, by today's standards, a relatively young fella, 66 years old. You look to be in very good health. Why? Why are you doing it?
Well, you know, it's one of those things you know, as you get older, you, like I said, when you just mentioned the introduction, decades, and I'm thinking, wow, I've been at this four decades, and I'm still healthy, and my wife supported me through it all, and so you start thinking about, you know, I'm healthy, I can enjoy the fruits of the labor and travel, and I have five grandchildren I love hanging with, and so, you know, it's just in our business, it's always deadlines. And so there's, you know, always that responsibility. And so you just find, where's the finish line? I never really thought of it when I started the Business Report. Where was I going to put the finish line? And as 40 years started to roll, I said, it's a nice round number. Things are in good shape. I'd read a book called Halftime by Bob Buford a couple of years ago, and went through a program that they have out of Dallas. And it's about, you know, your first half is really about success and you're really chasing it, whatever that is. And then your second half, you start thinking about significant. What am I doing for others? What am I doing that has a lasting impact that, you know, you want to do for others? And so it's just kind of your motivation changes. And so I felt things are in good shape. The company will continue, and I know Julio will do a great job with our team, and I'm proud of that. And so it's, you know, when's the fourth quarter end? And so you know, God, you know, I my faith is a lot of real important to my life and my success and my family, and I just felt the urge to conclude this chapter, and now I'm just looking to see what God has next for me.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org for Roth McAllister Jr., publisher, Greater Baton Rouge Business Report, and 225 has become a major player in the market. It's ubiquitous on newsstands, and he acquired InRegister about a decade ago, and that's a beautiful publication. It has a different business model, as does the Business Report, which is a subscription publication. I have my latest copy right here. I am a subscriber, but some listeners have already chimed in, and one of them notes that a mentor of sorts of yours, and I think we can accurately say that, Buddy Romer. He died this year. He was only 77, and he of course, had health issues you do not have, but you eulogized him. How much of a factor was he in your life?
He was huge. You know, I was starting out. The company, I guess, was 5 years old, and you know, I was passionate about Louisiana. This is my home. I've grown, born and raised here in Baton Rouge, and I was looking for Louisiana to break away from the past, the days of Edwin Edwards and the legacy of that. And, you know, Buddy Romer come along, and if you ever heard Buddy Romer speak, I mean, he can get you fired up. And I heard him once, and, you know, about the changes he wanted to bring, and I went and said, look, if you ever decide to run, I mean, you're somebody I could – you know, really get excited about for the future of Louisiana. It was probably the smartest man I ever knew. And so, you know, we got to be good friends. And, of course, he ran and, boom, you know, won. And we became really good friends. And after, you know how it is, once you leave office, a lot of friends go away. But we kept that going. And later we started the business bank together. And then that bank was purchased by Bancorp South, and then we started B1 Bank, our Business First Bank. And that now bank will be 17 years old next year, and is up to $5 million, and it's in Dallas and Houston now. And
$5 billion, right?
Yeah, $5 billion. And Buddy always wanted to say, man, there's an opportunity in Texas. Well, he'd smile and knowing that we're in Texas. And so we just stayed lifelong friends. I mean, that's the thing. I just learned so much from him, his integrity. You know, I mean, I saw it over and over again. I mean, he was just a big thinker. That's what Jim, I look at some folks like John Davies retiring, you know, and, you know, Robert Travis Scott's retiring. And so it's like, whoa, man, these are big thinkers. They're visionaries. Well, and we need that in Louisiana.
As are you. And, and people forget, but in 2000, Ralph ran for mayor, and doing the math, he was 45 years old. And you finished third. And in those days, if you had finished second, you would have won. Because in those days, we were still electing Republicans mayor. We had elected Tom Ed McHugh three straight times. You just got nosed out by Bobby Simpson. How would your life and perhaps how would the city have been different if you had been elected?
Yeah, I don't know. I have people ask me that or talk about that because I was a sort of outsider. I'd never run for office, didn't hold any office, and was that business person running. So I came with a lot of ideas. I'd gone to see John Norquist in Milwaukee and Stephen Goldsmith and trying to talk to these. I'm a big one on best practices. Where are the answers and the solutions? And so I came back with that, you know, and shoot, here I got criticized by another candidate saying, why are you going somewhere else? Why do you have to ask them? You don't think we're smart enough, you know? And I said, well, if you had the answer, I'd assume you'd already shared it. So I'm looking for where, just like in my business, a lot of our ideas have come from other markets that work and we want to bring them to Baton Rouge. But so I was, you know, talking about a lot of new ideas. Well, change scares people, some people, and probably 2/3 of the people don't like change. And you know, Baton Rouge is fairly conservative. 80% of the natives in Louisiana, 80% of the residents are native. So we've always, that's the way we've always done it before, GM. So, you know, I was suggesting new ideas. I think it scared a lot of people excited about it, but not enough. And if it would have happened, I think I would have, you know, like I said, changed the way, you know, been more entrepreneurial, taken more risk. Now, that's not always good in politics. And sometimes if they don't work out, you're gone. Sort of like a coach, you don't win, you're history. But I just decided I wanted, you know, I talked about other candidates and I figured, you know, a lot of them get in there and they worry about reelection. And my deal was, hey, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to tell everybody up front. They said, don't say all these things, Rolf. Wait till after. But I said, well, no, I want a mandate for change. And so, you know, and I think what's happened is people tend to be more comfortable. A good friend of mine, a publisher in Pennsylvania, he sold his business there, and he was very similar to me, and he ran as a businessman, finished third, Jim. So all these years later, he said, I don't know, Rolf, you know. So anyway, it's one of those things where I just feel a lot of times God knows what's best and orders our steps, and maybe I'd have gotten in there, Jim, and my style wouldn't have worked, and I would have clashed with the, you know, Buddy Romer often clashed with the legislature.
But Kip Holden was elected, and the first two terms, I think he gets high grades even from conservatives, the first two terms.
I think that's the reason he won, because Bobby, I don't think, did anything different. And so I think people were frustrated. They wanted to see some change, and they realized the status quo wasn't doing it. So you remember Buddy Romer and Jim Bernhard came out with a group of business people for Kip, and Kip won. Now, one thing I will say, Kip hired, you remember Walter Mansour, who had had the experience under Pat,
Walter.
And he was a Republican, and he hired it as his chief administrative officer. And, man, they got things done. And that's where I think the idea here, I've always talked about a city manager, and just was in Frisco and saw the fastest-growing city in America, and the mayor there credited the city manager. I write about that in my January column. But, you know, you got to have professionals. This is a billion-dollar business now, so.
877-217-5757 for Rolf McCollister Jr., leaving as of today as publisher of the Greater Baton Rouge Business Report. In the most current issue, he's seen with his grandchildren, who are the pride of his life now, and we'll talk more with him about Baton Rouge through the years as we return after this quick timeout of 90 seconds. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Caroline Menville Alonso is producing, and in studio is Rolf McCollister Jr. for much of the hour. Later, we'll hear from Mark Ballard of The Advocate, but Rolf is leaving after 40 years at the Business Report. And during that time, 225 came about more than a decade ago, and he also acquired In Register. So it's a publishing empire, if you will, that is now run, or soon will be, as of next year, by Julio Malera. He's been with you how long?
25 years.
25.
So that's a heck of a partnership to stick together, you know, like a marriage.
And he has some big shoes to fill, but he does know the lay of the land, which is always helpful. And J.R. Ball, who was once editor of Tiger Rag for many years, he's been with you off and on now for over 20 years.
Yeah, he's right at 20 years, too. So yeah. I've been fortunate to have a lot of good people, and not just inside the company. But you and I were talking earlier about Stephen Moray, who's a good friend, and, you know, Bobby Jindal, Buddy Romer. I mean, these are folks at John Davies that have had an impact on me, and I've enjoyed partnering with.
Right.
One I used to partner with was a guy named, he was Butch Spearden, who used to run our Convention and Visitor Bureau. Very talented, got things done. He's in Nashville now, been there probably 20 years, one of the hottest cities in America. So talent matters.
877-217-5757, and he must have had his ears burning because none other than Stephen Moray is calling from Richmond, Virginia. Stephen Moray, who left us to go to work, left the state to go to work as a economic development chieftain in the great state of Virginia, has now also switched jobs, and we'll ask him about that, but I know he has something to say to you, and Stephen and I have talked recently, and he commented on how you had been a major player in his life. Stephen, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Jim. Good morning, Rolf. Wow, I mean, Rolf, I can't believe, you know, that 40-year run has just been incredible. I think about in an era when, you know, print media has been under such incredible strain. In that very same time period, you created a highly successful, growing enterprise. But really what I most remember is the impact you've had on me and the impact you've had on Baton Rouge and LSU and Louisiana. I think back to 17 years ago, I was taking over what was then called the Chamber of Greater Baton Rouge, now called the Baton Rouge Area Chamber. And I remember meeting with you in your office for the very first time, and your arms were waving around, talking about, we could do this, then we could do this, then you could do that. It was a very inspiring moment. You always pushed me and others to think bigger, to innovate, to execute. And over the 2 decades now that I've known you, I've always been deeply impressed with your commitment to Baton Rouge, to LSU, to Louisiana, excuse me, as well as to your family. You've always pushed others to make an impact, and I just want you to know that you have made a big impact on this community and on so many people. And I'm sorry, a little wistful here, but thank you for everything you've done for Baton Rouge and everything you've done for me personally. Thank you most of all for your friendship. And, Ralph, I just want to end with a question I think so many folks might benefit hearing your answer to. You know, you've thought a lot about the future of Baton Rouge and LSU and Louisiana. What do you most hope to see happen in the next decade for each of those places?
Wow. Well, we need to get you back here to help us answer that question. Yeah,
and Ralph is choked up listening to you, Stephen. So,
yeah, I really appreciate those comments. And, you know, Stephen, you, as I said, you know, when I get weary sometimes, I see folks like you, as I mentioned, outside of the company, and, you know, that work so hard and think so big, and it inspires me to keep going because, you know, you just can never quit. And, you know, I think, again, you always looked like I was talking about outside at the competition, not cities in Louisiana, but, you know, cities across America. As I mentioned, I was just in Frisco, fastest growing city in America. And, you know, we look at what you did with HQ2 in Virginia and wish you the best in Estrada now. And pray for your family, too, and Heather. And you know, it's all about relationships. It's all about working together with people and thinking big. And I'm just a big opponent of the status quo, always have been, you know, because, you know, to hear that phrase, you know, that's not the way we used to do it, or that's not the way we do it, done it before. Whether it's LSU, you know, thinking big, and you always talked about having those, you know, as with good to great, you know, the BHAG, what is it we aspire to be? Not to be better than last year, not to be better than UL Lafayette or, you know, some other college, but to be a flagship and to you know, inspire people and bring in talent. And, you know, it can be such a catalyst, and you know that you've always preached that of what LSU could be to the state. But, you know, we get caught up in our parochial politics, mm-hmm. you know, in the legislature and with all the other schools, and we think small, and that's really held us back. And as a state, I mean, we have to think different. Buddy Romer was big about that. Bobby, I mean, they are national and global thinkers, and they see what's happening around the world. And Buddy used to say, our competition is not in Bunky and Brulee, but our competition is Beijing, you know, and look at today, you know, I mean, so, you know, and of course, a lot of people didn't like that. I remember doing focus groups, you know, and they said that scared them. But, I mean, that's the reality, and you know the reality. You know the competition. You know what has to be done. And it takes bold leadership for people to say, hey, we're going to do it, because it's not going to stop. I mean, in my business, I could say I'm sticking with print. I'm not doing daily report with an email. Well, daily report will be 24 years old in April. Now, I asked the editor of Axios if he remembered an email daily newsletter 24 years ago, and he said he didn't before anything before 2000, and ours was in 1998. And you know, thank God we did it, and thank God we've done webcasts, and thank God we've, you know, innovated, and that's been the key to us to getting our niches in our different publications and innovating with technology, and that's where Louisiana has to keep changing, and change is so hard in this state. Again, 80% of the residents are native, so this is the way they've always known it, but the world is not going to wait on us.
Stephen, hopefully we'll have you back, and I'm sure Stephen will do it, but he has taken a big job that has national implications. And can you give us the brief version of what you're doing with Strata?
Sure, Jim. Well, I'll just briefly do that and then let you go. But, yeah, I'll be taking over in January, and Strata is a national nonprofit focused on helping more people to successfully achieve the American dream through higher education. So really helping to strengthen those connections between higher education and the labor market. And we'll be taking a lot of the ideas we first worked on in Louisiana and more recently in Virginia, and hope to help a lot of people across the country.
Well, thank you, Stephen. Thank you for your service.
Jim, always great to be with you as well, and look forward to listening to the rest of the show. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stephen.
877-217-5757. And Stephen noted your commitment to LSU, and you did serve two tours of duty on the board under Governors Romer and Jindal. And then, of course, those terms carry into the next administration, and you were replaced by others who were more friendly to the governors. But I remember when you first got on the board, you were an activist member, as you always were, but you were getting on Alan Copping's last nerve, the president of the university. You recall those days, don't you?
Yeah, you know, Alan was did the dental work for Edwin Edwards, and so he was the dean of the dental school and a friend of the governor, so he got appointed president, and it was all pretty quick. But, you know, he was a good man. I liked Alan. He wasn't a visionary in my mind, so he wasn't thinking big enough. And I asked him one time to write his vision for LSU, and he never produced anything. You know, he said, we'll do that together. But my deal was there is that I just I wanted LSU to aspire to greatness and to not just continue the status quo, and that's where I think he was. You know, he didn't like to rock the boats, and so, you know, like I said, I did. I remember one of my toughest votes was I got a lot of pressure. They wanted to put KMD initially next to Pennington to create a research park, and you know, there, and they decided to move it over to Jefferson Highway, and I just said I did the research, and moving it away like there by itself was not a good idea. And
people don't even know it's there, really.
I beat 15-1 on that one, Jim, and they gave me all sorts of hell and pressure to go along. But I said it's going to sit out there, and I said the land is vacant and could end up being a shopping center and apartments. And there it is. It sits. And so, you know, those are the kind of things that, you know, it's tough votes, but it's what it takes.
And we'll be back with Ralph McCollister after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Another segment with Ralph McCollister. Then we'll hear from Mark Ballard, as we do on most Thursdays. But this is next to last day of the year, and WRKF is attempting to reach its goals, and that's done through listeners like you. People may not realize, some of you listen to the station a lot do, but over 90% of the funding comes from listeners like you, and your financial support will keep us going and keep us large and in charge at 89.3 on the dial, 42 years on January 18th, a little longer than Ralph McCollister has been at the Business Report. But please call us. We need and want and desire your support. 855-893-9753. You can give online at WRKF.org. And when you donate, you will also support music education through Kids Orchestra, a donation of $100 or more, and you can choose to provide music supplies to the Kids Orchestra as your thank you gift rather than a tote bag or a mug. Again, 855-893-9753. And for us, in our remaining time with Ralph McCollister, 877-217-5757. And a listener notes that back in the day when you were first on the board, I remember you wrote an editorial, and it gained a lot of attention, and it was about these state lawmakers who would retire and then go to work at state agencies in high positions, and then their retirement would be calculated on their highest 3 years of service. So you didn't like that. That's still being done, by the way.
That's just, you know, again, milking the system. And, you know, I find it ironic for people who are, quote, public servants to figure out how to, you know, to me, scam the system, you know, get all their years part-time, and then get an appointment, you know, because of probably favors they did for somebody, and then you get that high salary for 3 years and get all the years calculated that, and some of the checks they get, you know, are just ridiculous. So, you know, again, that's part of Louisiana's history, you know, that I've always hoped to change, but it's hard to change.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on with Ralph. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Yes, was your great innovative friend Bobby Jindal correct in calling Donald Trump a clown?
You know, I thought about when I was coming on today. I said, you know, there's a lot of things that I, you know, love to get talk about or get fired up about. But, you know, I'm ending my career. I'm ending my year. And, you know, I'm going to be positive and you know, stick to what my 40 years has been about.
You were and are close to Bobby Jindal. And for those who meet Bobby Jindal, it's hard not to like him. He's a very charming man and a brilliant man. Yeah. But he made some decisions that I think hurt LSU. Would you acknowledge that?
Well, what I would tell you is, having been on the board, one thing that I looked at or found out as far as examining higher ed is Bobby actually, you know, I know when they talked about King complained about the cutting of the state support, you know, down to about 30%. You know, is that really that right-sized, you know, us, Louisiana, from our history with the rest of the country? Just like, you know, he got rid of the charity hospital system. I know people don't talk about that anymore because the patients are much better cared for in the current system than they were under charity. And I don't think anybody argues that, and they all screamed it was going to be the worst. But the idea is he got rid of that, and that was a Huey Long thing. On colleges, I mean, I talk to people around the country, and they're saying, look, we get only 5% of our state support. Colorado will soon get zero state support. And so with 30%, ours used to be 70%, because in Louisiana, everybody, the state pays for everything. We know that. And it's throw me something, mister, and we want somebody else to pay for it. Now we're down to 30 or so, and, you know, with tops, that the idea is it's still relatively high around the country. Now, people have to pay more themselves for what they get, but usually they value it more and for what they get. So the idea is that while it did hurt universities had to reinvent, like businesses, they had to figure other ways to generate income. They had to show the value of what people were getting and then go into the marketplace versus we're just going to count on the state. And, you know, a lot of them are even endowments. Our endowments are way low compared to the state because we never had to worry about it. Now we're having to go out and raise billions of dollars trying to get in from our alums and asking. And so I think a lot of that, to me, it was painful, you know, but the idea is that in the long term, it's sort of like charter schools. It was a war. It was a battle. But there's a whole lot of children being helped now because of charter schools and taking on the union. So some fights are worth fighting, and I think universities have to change. And I've seen LSU up close, and it doesn't like to change either. And I even had Kevin Cope say, we don't like change at colleges.
Well, what about 100 or 120 million or so LSU's investing on a football coach? Is that a wise investment?
Well, again, LSU, again, the state funds, they're not putting that kind of money in. You know, those are generated. LSU is the only football program in the state that's self-sufficient. You know, a lot of general funds go to every other college for athletics. But LSU is self-supporting, self-sustaining. So they get these monies from, you know, commercials, from packages, promotions, and so forth that they generate, the TV contract. And so I think it's out of control, truthfully. I mean, I'm saying, I remember when Nick Saban got 1.2 and Jerry DiNardo had been paid $600,000 and they went crazy. But when he left, everybody was saying, well, pay him $4 million, well, give him whatever he wants.
Saban was...
You know, so if you win,
it was special. But
if you win though, and you bring in the business and fill up the hotels and the restaurants,
yeah, it all comes
then
down to win.
Everybody, because that's really the marketing arm. I think the salaries are out of control. I mean, I see Olivia Dunn, who can make $1 million on her image. I mean, these kind of things. It's something I never dreamed would ever happen. But I do think that, like you said, you know, it is the marketing arm. Everybody around the country knows who LSU is. Because of our football team, unfortunately. And we need more focus on the academics, no question about it.
877-217-5757 in our remaining time with Rolf. And as usual, I'm getting more emails than calls, but that's okay. And here's one from Dean of the Southern University Business School, Donald Andrews. He says, great to have served with you on the current Mayor's Economic Development Transition Team. Congratulations on your accomplishments over the last 40 years. What do you see on the horizon for the Baton Rouge business community, and how can we grow the economic base to reduce the inequality?
Well, that's what I'm a big small business person, and I think a lot of ours, you know, it used to be, joke was, just go chase an auto plant, you know. And we have, you know, one project huge here, Amazon, that's coming at 1,500 jobs, but, you know, that's not going to solve the problem for us. We need, I believe, a good entrepreneurial ecosystem to be able to help small businesses start up. I mean, look at Todd Graves That is an amazing company. And, you know, he used to have that little chicken place right at the north gates of LSU, one shop, you know, right there next to the Chimes. And now he's global. And he's just a local entrepreneur that did well. And we have examples from the past, the Huey Wilsons and the Sternbergs and others who have built companies. I mean, look, we have Art Favre and Performance Contractors and Cajun and MAP and Excel. And these people do work mm-hmm. all over the country. So we need more entrepreneurs. We need to support those entrepreneurs, celebrate. That's what we've tried to do in the business report, recognize that, because they create jobs. And we're not going to go out there. I mean, Tesla already decided they're going to Austin, Jim. You know, and part of it is talent. They can find the talent to hire. And that's where, again, we got to make sure we lose too much talent. And without, you know, someone said there's a war for talent, and talent won.
Well, some other listeners have commented on your long history at the Business Report, and one of the people who was along for the ride for many years was none other than John McGinnis, and yes. He's been gone now for, he died in 6 years, but what a talent.
Yeah, well, that's where I got started. I was 20 years old, and I went to work for the Baton Rouge Enterprise, if you remember. That was a spinoff from Gregory. And so I went with that traditional weekly, and my dad was involved because he had started the North Baton Rouge Journal when he was 19, so he loved the newspaper business, and he was involved in that. And anyway, it struggled because it was general interest, and finally, after 6 years, we decided to spin off a new model with the Business Report, and I went over as publisher and David Dodson as editor, and that's when we settled the company, and John went to write his book, and Joe Decato, and then I took over at the Business Report and started that when I was 26. But so it was my dad and I were the partners, and you know, he was my hero.
Well, you mentioned your dad. I used to see him late in his life work out at the Spectrum, and he did it pretty well. And he, of course, was a man who was a big part of our community as well. And I know he is somebody you're thinking about today.
Yeah. Well, he loved the newspaper business, and he was, in fact, he was in the newspaper business. He went to war, and while he was in Korea, got elected to the Louisiana legislature while he was over there. He served in the legislature. He was a good friend of Jimmy Davis, and he also started two banks, ironically. And so, you know, sometimes we learn a lot from our parents, and the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So I always tried to make him proud, and he and my mom, they were just a huge influence on me. And my wife's been there through the, you know, Jim, through thick and thin, through the valleys, and I just give God the glory, you know, because I went through a lot of valleys and was on the verge of going out of business at times. And, you know, small business is tough, and anybody who makes it 10 years, makes it 20 years, makes it 50 years, I take my hat off, because it's not easy. And, look, I think it's getting harder now with all the competition from the big tech giants, and you know, it's just it's you know, again, I'm you know, I know a lot of football players at the end of the game give Jesus credit, but I gotta say I give him as my Lord and Savior, give him all the glory for anything that I've accomplished, because I wouldn't have made it without him.
Bill Huey says, when are you running for governor?
Right now I'm running for my vacation, and my wife and I are taking 2 weeks to go to the beach in January. We've never had a two-week vacation. The only time I was ever out 2 weeks when I had back surgery, and so this will be more fun. And I'm taking my grandkids snow skiing. They've been once and loved it, and so that's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, hold tight. We'll be back to finish up with Rolf and hear from Mark Ballard after this. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Just a few more minutes with Rolf McCollister on his final day at the Baton Rouge Business Report and his media conglomerate that includes 225 and InRegister. And then we'll hear from Mark Ballard, who's the best reporter in the whole wide world, based right here in Baton Rouge. But Clyde in Mid-City has been waiting a long time, Caroline tells me. And, Clyde, I want to get you in before we part with Rolf. Good morning to you, sir. Hi, Clyde.
Hi, Jim. Thank you, and thank you, Mr. McCollister. We welcome you every time. My question is, why did the Business Report not ever validate the presidential election? I'll take the answer on offhand.
Thank you. I didn't know that's the case, but did
we refer to Joe Biden as President Biden. I'm not sure what, again, one thing I'll tell you, Jim, is that what one of our strengths and one of our keys to our success is that we've always been local. Now, certainly I have my opinion, but as far as the news, you know, we don't carry wire, you know, services and such. And that's the good thing about that is the information that we do have local, you can't find on the national sites, and it's too expensive for them. And so we've had our niches with Business Report, 225, and Register, Daily Report. And we try to stay in those lanes. It's hard to duplicate anywhere else. And so that's what I think has been part of our success is that, we're local. We're all involved in it. We sponsor. We give back. Part of our way is giving back. Our vision is a company of excellence, innovation, and impact every day. And that impact is right here at home. And we love Baton Rouge, and we've gotten involved. We give back. We sponsor. We create events. And that's where I think Baton Rouge has been so good to us, and we try to give back as well.
Well, thank you, Ralph McAllister. And this is an honor to have you on your last day, and I appreciate what you've done for our community. You're a good man, and credit to your hometown, and keep on going. You got some gas left in the tank.
Well, I appreciate this opportunity, Jim, and wish you continued success here with Louisiana Network and Tiger Rag and, being in the media business together. And I appreciate this opportunity just to thank everyone in Baton Rouge for a great run and a great ride and career, and for me and my family. And I look forward to continuing to be a resident and support Baton Rouge.
Well, and when it comes to media from a local level, ownership in this area, you're the gold standard. So thanks for inspiring me with your life and your success.
Thank you.
Keep going. And we're joined now by Mark Ballard, and I promise if Mark's up to it next week, we'll have him for a longer visit to make up for the short visit today. But I think he knows that on Ralph's last day, it's important to visit with this man who's a titan in the community. But Mark, you in many ways are a competitor, as am I to some extent with Tiger Rag to Ralph. But in this case, I think it's largely a friendly competition.
Right. I would think so, and actually, to get any time at all on Ross's final day is great for me. I wouldn't have expected it. So,
and at the end of go ahead. I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, and I think that we're going to miss him out in the community and with the Business Report for the coming. So I'm sure it'll continue, but it won't be the same. I'm sure.
Well, and media competition is good. And I do note that not only has Ralph left the Business Report at the end of the year, but one of the best reporters, Stephanie Regal, also is gone as the editor. JR's the executive editor, and I'm sure you've got some great people on staff. Ralph is still in studio, but Stephanie will be difficult to replace. But Mark, you last week at the end of the show were asked by a listener about the big story of the year, and I'd have to say the most memorable show I did this year was the day you came on the air with me, and your wife had just died a few hours earlier, and that's what journalists do. They talk about things that are not pleasant, but in this case, this was the love of your life, and you still came on the air, and I always respected you, but because of that, even more so, and you did it in such grand style and paid such a wonderful tribute to Donna that I will always be grateful that you decided to be on the radio that day.
Well, yeah, and a lot of people say, 2021, I haven't finished hating it. For me, it was 2021 was a terrible year, but I know it was better for many people. But primarily started off bad.
Yes, indeed.
From my perspective.
And to think that this year Ralph was going down the list of people who either died or retired who were in the media and in Baton Rouge public life, it's a long list. And then May, June, and July, we lost in succession Buddy Romer, Jimmy Fitzmaurice, and Edwin Edwards. We're talking about a year in which we lost a lot of people that were important to us. And some of those not only were people we covered, but people we liked, admired, and I think legitimately could call his friends.
Yes. Yeah. It was a bad year for that. There seemed to be just an awful lot of death, you know, and COVID adding to it. But also, I just think that the time had come up for many of these people. Jimmy Fitzmaurice was in his 90s, if I recall.
I think he was 99.
As was Edwin Edwards.
93, so, almost 94. And Buddy was the tender age of 77. But he got...
But had a lot of sickness.
Yeah, the diabetes, juvenile diabetes. It was something that he fought gamely, but it caught him. And he knew it was going to catch him. I remember him talking about it at Books A Million, how things would happen, and at some point he would lose limbs, and then he said, and then I will die. And he did, but he was a good man, and he didn't hold grudges. A lot of politicians hold grudges, but Buddy Romer, I'd see him at Books A Million, and people who just ripped him up one side, down the other, walk in there, and, hey, Governor, and he'd say, hey, so-and-so, and they'd sit there and talk for about an hour. So he was a man who... had a good heart, and he had a temper, but he, beyond the temper, was a good man, and his wife Scarlett took great care of him. He was smart enough to marry a nurse the last time, and she extended his life. But you extended Donna's life, and you did it while you were working, and I mean you never stopped, and I don't know how you did it, because you're under enormous pressure on your job, and then to deal with your wife battling ALS is something that, it, shall we say, is a full-time job in itself. But I know she loved you dearly, Mark.
Yeah. Well, to me, it was not that. It's what you do for your best friend. You know, I mean, it was very stressful, but I could not honestly find another way to handle it. So, and we could afford to do it at home. And that's an important thing.
And you had two wonderful children who were helping you fight the battle. And I know at this time of the year, as we mentioned last week, they miss their mother and you miss your wife.
And we had a wonderful Christmas together, you know, and with that specter over it all. So, we moved on, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Let's slide Phil and Jefferson Terrace in. Phil, please be brief. You're on with Mark. Good morning, sir.
I just want to thank the both of you. You were true journalists, true gentlemen, and truly good men. And thank you. Thank both of you so much.
Well, thank you,
Phil.
Have
a great New
Year.
Thank
you for your kind words. And that applies to Ralph, too, who is still with us in studio. But as we segue to issues that we'll talk about in the coming year, last year, Louisiana lost 27,000 citizens. We're on the brink of having negative population growth, as did Mississippi in the last decade. And those who are staying are moving to areas like the Baton Rouge area, the New Orleans area, and those areas are unfortunately close to the coast and endangered by environmental issues. So, Mark, as we look ahead, we've got to do something different. We can't keep on doing the same old thing, or we will perish as fools. Your thoughts about what the future looks like?
Well, I think that there's a lot of opportunity in this green technology, and it's not to say that there's not continuing opportunity in the oil and gas and energy industry, but we can expand out of that. And I think that there's efforts to push towards that, to do a more green. We can't have 8 hurricanes, you know, 2 of which, or was it 9? I've lost count. 2 of which were category 4s and very harmful and disruptive of life in Louisiana for weeks, months at a time. And that can't continue to happen.
And unfortunately, New Orleans and Baton Rouge are 2 of the top 10 cities in homicides. And next Friday on this show, we'll get the year-end review from Hiller Moore. But that's another issue when we're talking about attracting business. Education and crime go right to the fabric of quality of life. We've got to do better in those areas or nobody will want to move here.
I think that's true. I think it really all starts with education. As a parent, you look at where can I send my children to school, and that becomes paramount. And I may have a great job, but if they're going to take me to a place where I can't send my children to school, then I can find another job. And that's what happens, I'm afraid.
Well, Mark Ballard, Happy New Year to you. Thanks for staying the course and being a brave soldier amid the tragic loss of your wife and the battle over the last 3 or 4 years of her going from a vibrant on-air personality to a person fighting to stay alive. But you handled it with great grace, and we appreciate you. You're a fine man. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for the thoughts, and Happy New Year.
First Financial provides signature support.